My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
That's right, Dibby and Webby. What's going on, everyone? 888-957-9570. We'll get a non-Markkanen update from Slates.
Nice.
In about an hour and a half. Other than that, let's talk about Brandon Ayuk. And if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to Webby and Dibby on the free Odyssey app or wherever you find your favorite podcast while you're there. Check out Bonte and Joe and their conversation with Tim Kawakami, earlier today, latest on Brandon Ayuk. Subscribe to that show, Steiny and Goo as well. Do all of that, and then you just get it out of the way and you don't have to ever think about it again. How about this? Another tweet from Mike Silver, who has, certainly bothered some people with the way he tweeted about things yesterday, and he is unbothered by the bothered, but that's okay. I happen to think Mike Silver knows things. And so if you want to be bothered by the way he shares them, that's fine. That's totally fine. But I don't dismiss what Mike Silver says. I think he's pretty close to the team. I think he knows what he's doing. I think he's a pretty good reporter. So I also find this tweet from earlier today to be super interesting. Want to hear it?
Sure.
Like to hear it? Here it go. Quote, rethinking the Brandon Ayuk decision to hold in rather than stay away. He hadn't gotten an offer or any other engagement from the 49ers since May. He requested a trade. Other teams wanted to pay him. By showing up but not practicing, he clearly bothered Kyle Shanahan in a manner that made a trade more plausible, especially when juxtaposed against Debo's hyper-intense approach. So far, Ayuk has not agreed to join either of the teams with whom the 49ers would do deals. However, he has achieved movement. In retrospect, holding in may have been the right play. Again, depending on what your goal is. But I think that provides a little bit of an answer to my question. Why now? What the hell's been going on all summer? If you wanted to trade Brandon Ayuk, trade Brandon Ayuk. Don't do it when you're in the middle of game prep.
Well, you would have done it before the draft, but at that point, yes. I don't believe that you thought that this deal was going to be undoable.
Agreed.
For lack of a better way to describe it. So you went into the draft thinking, we're going to dangle him. There'll be some danglage. And if we get wowed, then we will trade Brandon Ayuk. But unless we get wowed, we're going to keep Brandon Ayuk because we really like him and we're going to work this out. And so you don't trade him and you get into May And then it's wop, 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 wop. All these contracts start coming in. 30 here, 28. You get 27.5. And now it's like, uh-oh, the market's done reset itself. And Brandon Ayuk is licking his chops. And he comes to the contract negotiation with a knife and fork and the old napkin tied around his neck. And he's ready to eat.
And he's sitting at the table by himself.
Well, yeah, because the team's like, well, we don't, yeah. We're not.
We're out.
We kind of indicated before that we weren't thinking about 27, 28, or 29, let alone 30 Amon-Ra. And now you're coming in here ready to eat a big meal, and we're offering you a salad bar. So I do think that that changed everything when you got into May and those other contracts landed. And all, and I don't fault them for it because the market is the market.
Yeah, sure. Why wouldn't you ask?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you ask? Of
and
course.
So you That's ask fair. And they say no, and then you ask again and they say no, and then you even probably intimate, how about we meet in the middle, and they say no.
No.
And so in May, you give your last best offer, and Kyle didn't want to get into offers and timelines and contracts, but what you said about Parag Marate, who's the guy who's doing all these deals, he is a guy who is, he's tough. He's a tough negotiator. It's what he does. And so I don't think that there was ever a sense of, yeah, you know, we want to give you 24. You want 30. We'll just do 27 and we'll all be happy.
First of all, you're getting a lot of love for your Kendrick reference.
Thank you.
So
I try to throw those in every now and again.
Congratulations on that.
It.
That was very well received.
Thank you.
But secondarily, so let me process this then. He comes to them in June, and he comes to them in July, and they're like, nope, 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 nope. Okay, fine. But in the back of their mind, they're thinking that the end game is what? Like, that's my question. So you didn't, if you're the Niners, you didn't engage with him. You said, here's what we're offering you in May. And then since then, he's asking, and he's on TikTok, and there's this threat, and there's that. And
they
you're
say
just,
they don't want me.
Yeah, and you're just like, whatever, dude. Whatever. We told you what we're offering you. We'll see you in camp. And nothing changes your stance at that time. But then you get to August. Brandon shows up in shorts, cruising around out on the field in the middle of play calls. And that's when you get mad and go, okay, get this guy off my plane. Okay, but why not in June? Why not in May? Why not in June? Why not in July? In other words, what was your end game? What did you think was going to happen?
I think about Rocky IV.
Okay.
When Drago and Rocky meet in the center of the ring after Drago had already killed Apollo Creed. Spoiler alert, it's now 30-something years later. And Drago says, I must break you. And Rocky says, go for
you
it.
You think Brandon broke Kyle Shanahan?
I think that the Niners were saying to Brandon Ayuk, I must break you. And I think that they thought that come June, July, and August, Brandon would realize that this is the deal, and we can, man, fifth year option.
Yeah.
Dangle, dangle, franchise tag. We've got you. You have to do what we want you to do. So unless you want to sign for $24.5 million or whatever the number was, we can go ahead and wait this out, Brandon. And then Ayuk took a hard look and thought, you know what? I'm going to hold in, and I'm just going to annoy Kyle like the kid in the backseat on a road trip. Are we there yet?
Okay.
Are we there yet?
And that's
Are we there
all,
yet?
Look, that's all fair.
Quiet!
Yeah, oh my God.
And I know you've lived it.
Please.
It's too soon.
Way too close to home.
No, it's like we're not even out of the driveway yet. Are we there yet?
I'm looking at this situation going, okay, I can see how that, like, then therefore, if that's what Brandon wants, that's smart. But I also do, like, I would fall here. I don't know what Cleveland or New England offered Brandon financially. But at a certain point, if you're, like let's play this out as we're Brandon.
Okay.
I'm mad, I want a new contract. All right, you're probably right. I'm asking for 26. The Niners are like, we'll do 26. And you come back the next day, you're like, did you see Jalen Waddle and Amon-Ra? Never mind. I don't want 26. I want 29.5. Niners are like, no, that's not what we were talking about. Well, sorry, the price changed. Well, sorry, we're not offering it to you. Okay, fine. Now I'm going to request a trade. Now we're going to sit here for 2 months and wait. Now I'm going to show up at camp, just start walking around on the field in my sneakers while you're trying to work. Hey, coach. Brog. Okay, fine. Brandon, we have two trades in place. No, I don't want to go there. That's where you lose me. I will never, ever come down on a player for wanting his cash. Ever. But if that's what you want, and it's being offered to you, you do not get to say no and then walk around on the field in sneakers.
Well, he wants the cash from where he wants
You're
the cash.
You're not a free agent, brother!
I get it.
You're
I
not get it. A free agent. That's not how it works. So this is just me now. I'm not against his cash. He's right. He deserves it. If he wants to be traded, he gets to say that. But if he asks for a trade and they trade you, you do not get to say no and then walk around here in shorts. That would make me livid.
Agreed. I would be angry, but it's not, I guess, the choice of words. He does get to do it because...
Well, he's doing it.
And the biggest problem with all of this is what we've talked about for the past 6 months since they lost the Super Bowl. This is a big year for everybody. Mm-hmm. They're in a Super Bowl window, and I already said that I don't think that they can win the Super Bowl without him, and I think that there are some in the building that probably thought that as well. But now you get to a spot, August 6th, where, you know what? The hell with it. Maybe we can win without him because I can't stand dealing with this for another day. So now we're going to trade him. And then you go about trying to trade him and you have a couple of things maybe lined up and he still says no.
Yeah.
It's getting to be in a spot where, you know, the spite on both sides might turn into something that kind of spoils the season a little bit.
I wonder if they didn't believe that he would sit camp out. And now they do believe that he's like, no, I really will not practice. I'm not practicing. I'll be there for the game, though. I'll be there.
You can either play me or not. That's your choice.
I mean, I don't know if they just didn't believe it. But again, to arrive at this situation now is a misplay. There's no two ways about it in my mind. Because this is not good for anybody. Even Brandon. And I'm not saying that with 49er arrogance, like, oh, you want to go play with Drake May? I don't care where you go. You could go to the Chiefs, and it's not good for you to show up on August 6th.
Yeah, it makes it tough.
Having never played there before? Like, I'd argue right now, the chances of Brandon Ayuk having a 1,000-yard season for someone else this season are incredibly low. I don't care where you go. You're not in the plan. I know Kyle said today, and I think he was sort of joking. He was asked, how long does it take to get a new receiver up to speed? And he goes, 2.5 days. And then he's like, no, just kidding. Like, it depends on who it is. So, yeah, maybe you go into a system and Brandon picks up the system in 3 days.
You mentioned Emmanuel Sanders, and it seemed like he came into the system and he hit the ground running and he was pretty effective
fast,
right away.
Pretty fast, but I mean, there's the rapport with the quarterback.
Yeah.
You were talking about teams who don't even know who their quarterback is. The Steelers, who's your quarterback? I don't know. Russell Wilson's apparently hurt. Patriots, who's their quarterback? Is it Drake May? Is it Jacoby Brissett? I don't know. I don't know who the quarterback is for these football teams. I know who it is for Cleveland. I don't know if he's any good anymore.
You know who it is for the Niners.
I do.
Yes. Pretty good little player.
Yes, I do.
To that point, though. So it's not ideal for either side, but I do think if you get to a spot where you're fed up, then you need to make something happen now as opposed to in a week or in 2 weeks. And I know that you don't, and Kyle talked about this, about, you know, the urgency. They're not feeling any tremendous urgency because they're going about the preparation for a game on Saturday and then the regular season opener and all the rest of it. So they're not letting this dictate how they're going about getting their football team ready, but I'm sure internally they'd love to have this thing behind them.
For sure. Don't you read this that Mike's reporting? Don't you read this to say, like, Kyle would be more okay with this if Brandon would just do what Trent's doing? Just stay away. But you're not going to show up, just parade around in front of everybody. Hey, I'm here. Hi.
Totally.
Maybe go sign some autographs. Like, and if that's what Brandon wants, then I do have to give him his credit for he made a move that may actually lead to a team trading him when they don't have to. You know?
It's a little bit of scorched earth as an approach.
Sure.
And, you know, one thing is TikTok, whatever. They say they don't want me and all the rest of it. That's passive aggressive. But if you're going to show up, and I'm not saying that he's being disruptive, but we spent, while you were in Hawaii, we spent half a show talking about the handshake and the bro hug and what it meant. And
only half a show?
Might have been the whole show. I can't remember.
You would have gotten 3 days out of that.
No, we had FP. It was baseball trade deadline, so we were talking a lot about Alex Cobb.
I'm sitting by a pool, and I'm showing lovely Christy. I'm like, good God, look at this.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just cruising around on the field saying hi to everyone.
We had a lot going on last week.
The boys are having fun with this.
It was a good one. It happened at just the right time. So.
I do think that,
and I wonder about now, like, you know, the Niners and Brandon Ayuk have agreed to terms on a new contract. Can you even imagine that now happening where Ayuk is up there with John and Kyle and it's handshakes and pictures and bro hugs? And
no, I don't.
That feels like, you know what I mean?
No, I could still see Brandon playing on his fifth year option.
Agreed.
I absolutely do not see an extension, even though Kyle said, yes, it's still on the table. But
of course,
that's he's going to say
four years and $104 million. And
he's going to say everything's
$40 million
on the table.
Guaranteed at signing.
Is it on the table that Brandon plays without a helmet this year? Sure, everything's on the table. Yeah, might happen.
Totally.
Who knows?
Yeah. Possibly.
Let's go to Marvin in Livermore. Hi, Marvin. Thank you for calling. What's cooking?
Hey, not much. How you guys doing?
What's up, man? I'm good.
I think Niners miscalculated twice. One on the market for a receiver and one on Trent Williams. The difference between Brandon and Trent has already got his bag. So the $50,000 fine a day, he doesn't worry about where Brandon hasn't gotten one. So that's why he went in. But I really think with NFC in particular, signing the left tackles to all the money. Trent Williams is like, hey, I make 22. These guys got this $90 million guaranteed, and they probably were thinking that, hey, Trent came to us in March, knew about it, and we might have to give him a few million. Well, now they're not going to be able, in my opinion, pay Brandon and then give all that guaranteed money to Trent. So that's why they're probably opening up to the idea of trading him so they can get off that number.
Maybe.
What do you think?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, Marvin, it's hard. Thank you so much. It's hard to know what car is driving what bus, you know, like who's pushing who here. I don't know. I have a hard time believing that the 49ers, who have cap space, are like unable to do anything with Trent because of the unknown with Brandon. The only way I could see that being a thing is if you do get to a point where you're trading Brandon and a player is coming in return. Let's say it's Amari Cooper. Well, now there's a salary that you need to fit in that you weren't planning to fit in. They weren't planning to fit in. What does Amari make? 22, 23, something like that? They weren't planning that. Maybe that affects it. I think the Trent thing is being driven by his age and nothing else. Nobody argues that Trent is anything other than the best. And so does he deserve to be paid top of the market for 1 year? Sure. But are you asking for an extension? You have 3 more years on your deal till you're 38 years old. You've gotten hurt 2 years in a row. You want us to guarantee this year? Next year? Year after that? Do you want another year added on? Like, whoa, dude, you're 36. So I don't know. That one still feels to me like the calendar is winning. Not the contract, not the player, not the team. The calendar. August 6th, nobody's
agreed.
Freaking out that Trent Williams is not there yet. That one I still think gets done in the next two weeks.
Agreed. And even if it got done right now, this very second, he's not going to be at practice tomorrow or Thursday. He's not going to go play in Tennessee. He probably won't play the second preseason game, maybe a little bit, and he would maybe play none in the third game either. So Trent Williams is going to be ready for the opener in 34 days. I would guess this contract will get worked out between now and then. If Trent Williams doesn't practice or decides to not play in the season opener on Monday Night Football, that to me would be an absolute shocker. More shocking than if Brandon Ayuk gets traded.
Agreed. Agree completely on that one. Let me ask you this, because this has been brought up by a couple of our listeners here on the Xfinity mobile text line, and we appreciate you all sending that in. Same as the phone number if you want to text us as well, if that's easier for you. A few people have texted in to remember that this is not the first time that Kyle Shanahan and Brandon Ayuk have been bothered by one another. And I do wonder, because everybody starts from a different starting block with other people, if there's history there. You know what I mean? Like, if you bug Kyle Shanahan, but it's the first time you bugged him, you might get a little more rope. You might get a little more patience. You might be like, okay, like, I can see this has really gotten to you. Let's see if we can figure this out. But Brandon Ayuk is somebody who already once, he came in, he played well as a rookie. Then he came back that next year, and in the mind of Kyle Shanahan, thought he was all too big for the britches. And Kyle sent a very, very firmly worded email, as you said,
yep,
by benching him. And he doghoused him for a while. I've always given Brandon credit for, like, there's two ways you can react in those situations. He reacted very well. He became an all-pro. And so that's great. But now you come and do this. You hold in right underneath Kyle Shanahan's nose. And I wonder if the history of their relationship has sort of been rekindled here.
Perhaps also the timing of it, I think, is the biggest part of it. And, you know, holding in, like you said, holding out is a little bit cleaner. You're not going to be here, and we're going to deal with it. And, you know, you're not going to be here as a distraction. But when you're holding in, he's in the meetings, and he's around the facility, and he's doing everything except the one thing that you probably want him to do more than anything else, which is go play football and run routes, and let's see how you look out there and figure out how we can make you the best player that you can possibly be. So holding in becomes much more annoying because he's right there and he's right in front of you, and yet it's basically his way of saying, you know, you can't find me and I'm here. I'm not going to practice, but here I am. So I would imagine that's super annoying for Kyle Shanahan.
Well, and Kyle was asked if he's talked directly to Brandon. And listen to this response, oddly, after bro-hugging him out in the middle of the field.
I think we did at the beginning, but we've kept, we haven't been talking about it much with each other. And most of that goes through his agent and John.
I mean, that bro-hug out there in the middle of the field, like, don't you? So there were two things people wanted to talk about. Oh, they're shaking hands like they've got a deal. Or, oh, they're shaking hands like they're saying goodbye to one another. I don't think it's either. I think Kyle's like, well, let's avoid the awkwardness. Hey, dude, how are you? Back to work.
Back to you.
Back to you. That's it. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, you do that sometimes.
Right.
With people that you don't like or you're mad at or whatever. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Just like, to make it from being more awkward.
Well, think about how would you all have done the show if Kyle had seen Brandon and just turned around and went the other way?
Oh, it would have been great. Ayuk on the move. Yeah. He's getting dealt.
What would you have done?
Well, I thought that, you know, the bro hug meant that he was getting signed. And so I was waiting for the breaking news to come later that day, that afternoon, that evening. Like, this thing's getting done. Look at the warmth.
I mean, now my feeling is Kyle dapped him up and then turned around and muttered to himself, get the bleep off my field.
Right?
Get off my field.
Really?
You know why I have a helmet? Get off the field.
Yeah.
Maybe that's
what he said to him when they brought it in.
I bet that's what he's thinking to himself. I bet that's what he's thinking to himself.
Hold in.
And then you're going to come out on the field?
Walked right up to him.
This field is for active players and coaches. You're neither.
Ooh, boy. It's possible.
I don't know.
It feels like there's more acrimony than there has been at any point in this.
He's clearly annoyed. He's annoyed. And whether that's okay or not, I mean, I get it. I get I think, again, these things are both, in my mind, they're both true at the same time. I think the 49ers have miscalculated this, and if they trade Brandon Ayuk in August of a desperate year, I think that is a massive mistake. But at the same time, if you don't like your offer and you ask for a trade and they trade you twice and you go, no, I don't want to go there, you lost me. You lost me. What kind of power do you think you have when you're under contract?
Well, he's got enough power to potentially nix two trades. If neither of these trades happen, and if both of these trades were agreed to in principle, and yet he says no to both of them?
Well,
he's got power.
He's not saying no to the trade. He's saying no to the contract offer from the Patriots
exactly.
and the Browns.
He's saying no to the team
sure.
and the contract offer.
Right. I mean, the 49ers could just as easily turn around and be like, you want us to make your career a living hell for the next 2 years? Because we can Trent Williams you if you want us to. They don't want to do that. Who wins?
No one.
That's what I'm trying to
they
figure out.
They want to win football games.
This whole thing. Who wins? Who wins?
Well, he wins if he gets the contract that he wants and the team that he wants. And right now, he's playing it in a certain way. And if he really wants to go to Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh is still in play.
Yeah, reportedly.
Yeah, sure.
We're sponsored by LifeSource Water Systems. Love to take your calls on this. Thanks to those of you who already have. 888-957-9570. If you're just joining us and you didn't hear how Christian McCaffrey referred to Brandon Ayuk at practice earlier today, you're going to want to hear it. We'll have that for you next on Willard and Dibbs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
Kind of an example of what I was saying earlier, that there's absolutely, according to all national shows, nothing else is happening in the NFL. No other teams are in camp. That Hall of Fame game, that was taped. That was recorded.
They didn't even finish the game.
Did they? They didn't finish it?
No.
I was on a plane.
I was on the under, and it's still, they didn't even need four quarters to go over.
Oh, no. That's too bad.
It's so messed up. The over was a lock. It got called off because of weather.
No.
I gave out the under as a lock, and Grandy was hosting with me. And so the bit is that Grandy and Lucas will bet against me because I've been running a little cold.
It's not
of
a
late.
Bit. It's their salary.
Okay,
it's
so
literally their main source of income.
So I was really upset because on Thursday I was not able to get it in. I forgot. But I ended up not would have.
That's
I wouldn't have,
the point.
I wouldn't have been paid out anyway. I wouldn't have been able to cash out because it didn't end up hitting.
Apparently, you have to play 58 minutes.
Yes.
I think it was at least for the 55,
something like that.
Yeah.
I know that it has to. It's a timing thing.
So even though it already went over, you don't get paid on the over because it didn't go long enough. Even though the over already hit,
it went over like the first half.
Yeah, whatever. Okay.
There's no possibility whatever. For the score going backwards. That's a scam. That's a scam.
For sure.
Like, the over hits.
And I get
it's
it.
Over.
If you know you don't want to cash the under if it hadn't yet gone over, because then that's fine. You got another 12 minutes or whatever of football.
Happen.
That's
yeah.
fine. But if you're betting the over and it's literally already over and you don't get cashed out, that's a total scam.
That's wrong. That's called a bad beat, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
But you didn't bet it anyway, Grandy?
I was really upset. I just didn't get it in time before it started, and
too
I forgot about it.
Too busy doing live radio.
Mm-hmm.
And because I meant... There's a Steiny noise for you. Welcome back.
Yeah.
Because
I'm immune now.
I gave it
I
out
went
of
to Hawaii, and I meditated it all away.
Okay.
Nobody's getting to me anymore.
Yeah. Well,
keep trying.
We'll see. It's,
yeah.
early. It's only
yeah.
Tuesday.
No, I'll be mad by Thursday. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Oh,
he was
it.
Doing live radio, and he was too busy hosting his show to get the bet in. You know.
Yeah. People think that you don't talk enough. They don't realize you're just over there making bets.
Actually, I haven't made
Grandy,
a bet in forever. I give out bets.
I know.
And then they bet against me, and they win.
And they win. And everybody's
so,
happy.
Yeah.
Keep it up, please.
I'll give
what
you
do you got tonight? What
I'll
do you
give
got?
You off the air.
What do you got? You think Team USA can beat, was it Brazil? Are we playing Brazil?
It's already over.
I know. That was the joke.
Don't spoil it.
Well, the bit is I know a guy who had Brazil plus 28. And
oh, that's too bad.
Boy, it's funny because I was watching the game, and after the third quarter, I think Brazil was down only by 27. So I felt good for that friend
good.
Of mine.
Yeah.
And then I realized they had another quarter to play.
Wow. Yeah. Team USA by 35 today.
Yeah, yeah.
Spoiler
and it wasn't
alert.
That close.
No.
Guy Santos looked good, though.
Did he?
Yeah.
I didn't look at the box score. Hang on, let's pull up the box
Anthony
score.
Anthony Davis dunked all over Guy Santos.
Yeah,
Guy Santos, 3-for-8 in 20 minutes of action, 7 points and 5 rebounds, couple of dimes and a steal.
I like the player.
And I like the pick.
Yeah.
I like the Guy. Let's see. How did Steph do? 0-for-1 from 3. He's old.
He's tired.
He's old.
Clearly.
I don't care.
Thinking about golf.
But he scored 7 points. Hit all his free throws.
Big.
He only shot the ball 3 times. Yeah, they benched all the starters pretty damn quick. Steph only played 17 minutes. Yeah, it was an Anthony Edwards game. 17 points off the bench. Devin Booker with 18 as a starter. Nobody with 20. Team USA rolls.
Yeah.
How's my prediction looking that they won't win gold?
Not great. I think that when the medal round started, they had gone to minus 800 to win gold. So.
I was just trying to motivate them. Just trying to poke at
Bolton
them a little
board,
bit.
Yeah, for yeah, sure.
Whatever.
I like it.
Just come home safe. That's it. That's all I care about, truly. Anyway, to the point we were making earlier about how there's no NFL news anywhere else. Do you know what popped up on the screen a second ago that I found to be wildly coincidental? Ja'Marr Chase is also a hold-in at the same position and is a big name, and everyone would actually rank him higher than Brandon Ayuk in the receiver world. He is holding in for a new contract with the Cincinnati Bengals, and how much are y'all hearing about that?
Not much. Not
nothing.
Much.
Totally quiet.
Well, I'm just looking at a report from the Cincinnati Inquirer, and
yes,
the headline is, the deal will get done, but just on the Bengals' timeline. So it's one of those.
What the hell is that? I mean, but that's what they're saying about Trent.
Right, which is why that's not really much of a story. The Brandon Ayuk story feels like it's more of a thing because it doesn't seem like the deal is going to get done on anyone's timeline.
I hear more about Trent Williams nationally than Ja'Marr Chase. The McAfee Schefter experience is talking about Trent Williams every day. every day.
But Trent Williams, better player than Ja'Marr Chase.
Well, be that as it may, he's not as popular of a player. He's not as significant of a name when it comes to fantasy football. He's not Ja'Marr Chase. I understand he's more important to your football team, but Ja'Marr Chase is Ja'Marr freaking Chase. And no one's saying a word about it. Doing the exact same thing Ayuk is doing.
Yeah, and maybe it's just because it feels like it's closer to being done or it's more likely to get done. And also the Niners are in a unique spot where they're in this Super Bowl window. And I don't think that the Bengals are in a Super Bowl window. The Bengals are good.
They think they are.
Right.
Like, the Bengals are definitely a contender. They lost their QB last year.
Sure, but if you look at that division is maybe the toughest in football top to bottom as far as... I think who's going to win it? Maybe the toughest to handicap.
I wouldn't argue that, but at the same time, I would definitely argue that Cincinnati is a contender. You know, I mean, three seasons removed from a Super Bowl appearance. When Joe Burrow plays, that's a very good football team. When Joe Burrow doesn't play, they're not as good. But yeah, I think that they would argue that they absolutely are a contender, even if it is having to get a wild card underneath the Ravens or something like that. Like, I wonder where they sit in terms of Super Bowl favorites this year.
Yeah, I'll look that up.
They got to be top 10. They have to be, don't you think?
Yeah, top 10-ish.
Maybe some 2024 Super Bowl odds.
And I'm going to look at the odds to win the NFC North because I think that division is kind of a toss-up.
You mean the
AFC North. AFC North, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. BetMGM right now has the... Bengals is the fifth favorite in the NFL.
To win the Super Bowl.
To win the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Plus 1,400. It's Chiefs narrowly over the Niners, followed by Ravens, Lions, Bengals. They're ahead of the Eagles, the Bills, the Texans, the Packers, the Cowboys, Jets, Dolphins. So, I don't know, man. Like, I get what you're saying, that there doesn't seem to be concern. But by the same token, something is... I don't know what it is about the Niners, but they've turned into the desperate NFL teams of Santa Clara. Like, I don't know what's going on, man, but everywhere you go, even outside of our little echo chamber here, every show is just Niners this, and Ayuk and Trent, and there's Kyle, and there's John, and blah, 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 to Debo. Debo looks great. I mean, jeez. It's loud.
Yeah, they are the defending NFC champs, and you know they were a couple of plays away from winning the Super Bowl. So as far as you know, the biggest teams out there, they're one or 1A, right? Sure. Only behind Patty Mahomes in Kansas City. And I also think that part of it is the nature of the Ayuk and the 49ers negotiation or lack thereof, because now you have other teams involved, and Pittsburgh's been hot on his trail for months, and now the Commanders with Jaden Daniels, and you've got rumors about the Patriots, and now the Browns are involved. So it is a story that takes on other markets and includes them as well.
By the way, Silver reporting that Brandon Ayuk has not ruled out the Patriots or the Browns.
Okay. He's just mulling it over.
War of wills between the Niners and Ayuk is not playing out the way many believed it would. I think he's got a story about it coming out soon, but it says Ayuk has not ruled out trades to the Patriots or the Browns and continues to assess his options.
And that's a smart move by him, because if it comes down to the contract, if the Patriots are offering him 28 and the Browns are offering him 28 and a quarter, maybe the Patriots will come up to 28 and a half a year. You know, it could turn into a bit of a bidding war. If the Niners are okay with either team's trade package, and that's just a report from Matt Maiocco that there was a deal
in principle.
With each of those teams. So then it comes down to Brandon Ayuk negotiating a contract. So it does him no good to rule out either one of those teams. It's better to have them bid against each other for his services. He might be playing this thing perfectly.
Again,
as far as getting the most money,
depending on what your goal is. And I firmly believe this is we have just reached. I know that, you know, Steiny was joking earlier, is like, man, it's getting juicy. And yes, it is. This is all soap opera-y. So if that's what floats your boat, then cool. You've got it. You've got your soap opera. What I like, though, I like soap operas that potentially have a good ending. And I don't know the ending here, So I can't tell you that this definitely doesn't have a good ending, but boy, I'd predict it. This just feels like a big old bucket of everybody loses. And that sucks.
Right. Depends on what you are looking to gain. If you're Brandon Ayuk and the only thing that you're really fixated on is making as much money as you can, then maybe you don't end up losing. Even if you go to a Patriots team that goes 2-15 and you get $29 million a year, average annual over 4 years, and you're a rich man and you go out there and you have 78 catches for 814 yards and you score 4 touchdowns, but you get that money.
Yeah, and
you
I'm
get
not,
that bag.
I get it. I get it. Yeah. Again, there's nothing critical here, and I know I'm being dismissive of other NFL teams' chances. You know, maybe he ends up in Pittsburgh and he and George Pickens and Russell Wilson make just magic together. That, sure, maybe that'll happen. Or maybe he ends up in Washington and he and Jaden Daniels skip through the hallways after all of their games together because they're best friends. And it'll almost be like the football version of the New York Knicks where everybody just got back together and they can all do college again. Maybe any of these things happen. But... dude, I think if you end up with the New England Patriots and you're literally the only player on the entire offense that anybody could name, and the 49ers end up with a rookie at receiver or some sort of revolving door of them trying to figure out who's catching the ball this year from Brock Purdy in an absolutely vital year, if that's the way this goes, sure, maybe Brandon will get his money. But outside of that, this is just a big who the hell won? Who wins?
Yeah, we'll have to stay tuned because the soap opera won't end when any trade potentially happens. Then it becomes the next phase, which is, all right, Brandon, you're a Patriot. Let's see how that works out for you. And all right, Niners, who is going to be your X receiver? Because you run a lot of 21 personnel, 2 receiver sets, and it's been critical to have Ayuk and Debo for the most part. So now what do you do, Niners, with that other receiver spot?
I got a question for you and for everybody, but we promised the McCaffrey comment for those who've not heard it yet. Christian McCaffrey at practice today on NFL Network was asked about the Ayuk situation and paid very close attention to how he answers it.
That's not part of my job. It's not part of my position. I think obviously as a former teammate, or, you know, teammate of his in general, any teammate that you have, you love, you respect them, you want the best for them.
For those of you who think Brandon is gone, I think you've got Exhibit A, which is Christian McCaffrey. If you just kind of rolled over that, just called Brandon Ayuk a former teammate, and then as soon as he said it, he did the a teammate, any teammate, clearly a slip of the tongue, but at the same time felt like it has a little meaning to it. He refers to Brandon Ayuk as a former teammate, and if that's the case, maybe we should move the story forward this way. Let me ask everybody this: if Brandon Ayuk is not the starting receiver opposite Debo Samuel, who is? And you can answer that however you want. This can be someone who's currently on the roster. This can be someone who's not on the roster. The 49ers have a Super Bowl to go win. They got a check mark at every position. But all of a sudden, they don't. They do not have their leading receiver from last year. They do not have someone opposite Debo Samuel. You can have anybody, realistically, don't say Jamar Chase, but you can have anybody that makes sense in some way, shape, or form be that starting receiver opposite Debo Samuel. Who is it?
It's Ricky Pearsall.
Okay.
It's the rookie. It's Ricky the rookie, and you just put him right in there, and he's looked good in camp, and you just teach him on the job, and he learns on the job.
He's gotten hurt twice already.
Right. So, you know, you hope that he's able to, he's going to be healthy now. He's gonna be, you know, Ricky's going to be out there playing hard now. It's my Herm. You know, I like my Herm.
It's very good.
It's an underrated Herm. But
it is.
I do think that that's where you start. And I don't think that you're going to bring in Amari Cooper. I think that that makes little to no sense.
I don't like that idea either.
You're going to have to bring in a guy and he's going to want to get paid. So now you're going to end up paying Amari Cooper when you wouldn't pay Brandon Ayuk, and probably wouldn't be as much money or for as long, but I don't think that that's what they want to do. And You know, there's been talk about Pittsburgh trading George Pickens. I don't really see that.
Has there been, like, real? I know that,
just,
like,
a lot of internet, yeah, like, rumors. People, like, trying to play around with what the compensation would be.
Yeah, I don't think Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh's into this because they don't want to weaken their wide receiver room.
Exactly.
They want to up it, and right now all they've got is George, and he's super cheap for two more years. I don't think George Pickens is going anywhere, but go ahead.
I think that the solution will be inside the building. And maybe you end up turning to Chris Conley, a guy who looked good last year in the postseason. He hasn't ever had to eat this much.
Yeah.
And, you know, Juwan Jennings has been great in limited playing time. But I think that you have to look internally to find the solution.
Hmm.
It's not ideal.
No, it's not at all.
But none of this is ideal. The ideal situation would have been Brandon signs in March and spends the offseason getting better and focusing on football. That would have been the ideal situation.
Yeah.
But you didn't do it. And I said this at the time, and I've said it all summer, that the Niners were going to regret the fact that they didn't get this done early.
I think that the answer can be Ricky Pearsall, but I don't think it can be Ricky Pearsall in September and October. When I look at Ricky Pearsall, here's what I hope. I hope that he mirrors what Rashee Rice did. And if you look at Rashee Rice and the Kansas City Chiefs, and everybody remembers where Rice was toward the end of the year, and he was clearly the Chiefs' best receiver and developed throughout the season. But for those of you that are forgetting, if you go back to the first, you know, at least 4, 5, 6 weeks of the season, the Chiefs were running around out there like, we're not sure who our receivers are. So let's try you this week. Okay, Kadarius Toney. Oh, shoot. You drop every ball that we throw to you. All right, not you. And then it was Sky Moore. And like, there's somebody named Justin. There was a guy named Justin. There's all these people who were revolving as Chiefs receivers while Travis Kelce was just eating in the middle of the field. And then Rashee popped. He popped, and you're like, oh, that's our number one receiver.
But he was good early.
He was good.
You're right, he popped. And I have it right here. His targets over the last 6 weeks, 10, 9, 10, 9, 12, and 6.
That was the guy.
Before that, he had 5 catches. He had 4 and a touchdown, 4 and a touchdown. He had 5, he had 4. He was good. And I had him on my fantasy team, so I was watching him very closely. And, you know,
good job keeping him.
Whatever.
You could have dropped him.
Good. By the time he was really popping, I was out of the playoffs, so it didn't matter anyway. But
Lucas had the gall to ask me yesterday if I was in the league again.
The champ.
Like, dude, do you know how weak sauce that would be if I bailed after winning?
Yeah.
You have to, like, you're not, I'm not even allowed to not. I, first of all, of course I want to be in the league.
You're going
to
be in 4 leagues.
I'm not, thank you. I, maybe 5. Anyway.
You're a junkie.
Anybody got a league?
Seriously.
Yeah, here we go. You got one of them leagues?
You and Guru combined on like 15 leagues.
Not 5.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah. But I'm, anyway.
Anyhow,
anyway.
I'm a one and done guy. I just want to focus on the one
man.
League.
But you're back.
I'm back.
Thank you.
Reluctantly. It's a tax write-off.
Well, no, it's...
Whatever. I'm a pincushion in this league. I hate Mark Grandy.
But thank goodness you're in.
It makes for a better league.
Every league.
You beat me by 0.4 last year that knocked me out of the playoffs.
Oh, I had my own heartbreak.
Yeah, you sure did.
He got knocked out of the playoffs by his own 0.4, and he would have knocked
me out.
And
you winning it all.
And then I won it all.
Yeah. That's tough. You hate to see
tough
it.
Tough break. Anyway, that's... My,
the trajectory you want is Rashee Rice.
Right, except without the off-field stuff. Don't be a knucklehead off the field, Ricky. But
why can't he be Puka Nacua, who comes in and immediately explodes on the scene?
He can.
Okay, he's allowed to.
Actually, I don't know that you could Puka Nacua in the Niners offense.
That's fair.
The Rams hucking around a whole lot. So, but yes, he can. I mean, how realistic is that? How often does that happen?
Well, that was a record-setting year.
Yeah, never. Like, that does not happen. You want to know who Puka reminded me of? The best rookie wide receiver season I can remember in at least somewhat recent memory. What did Anquan Boldin do as a rookie? He was with the Cardinals, and it was with Kurt Warner. And I feel like Anquan Boldin was just like Puka, where nobody really was like looking at Anquan Boldin. No one had heard much of him.
He had 101 catches for 1,377 and eight touchdowns.
And when was he drafted? What was Bolden's draft situation? When did he get picked? I don't know this off the top of my head. Second round. He's a second rounder. Puka was much later than that. But he was not, he did not come in.
And Anquan did play alongside Larry Fitzgerald, which helped.
Absolutely. But my God, no one saw him coming. 1,377 yards as a rookie. So yes, it's allowed. But that was not the 49ers' plan.
Of course not.
And he's been hurt twice now, so he's missing camp.
Interesting, though, about that not being their plan, because they used their first-round pick on a wide receiver. So if it wasn't their plan A, it was at least their plan B.
But I think
next year. You go into the draft and you use draft capital on a wide receiver, that's sending a strong signal that you like the player and you feel like the player is going to have a chance to help you right away.
Absolutely. I think help them is one thing, but where the miscalculation clearly to me happened, and I think coming up next we should roll through some of the Tim Kawakami sound from earlier on Bonte and Joe's show, because he had some very pointed comments about this. I think the Niners assessed all summer, especially once they get Ricky, they're like, we're drafting Brandon's replacement, but this year we've got Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel. And then next year, we can assess the situation if we want to move on from one of them, if we want to trade one of them, if Brandon walks as a free agent, then Ricky is a year in. We know what we've got. Is he ready to be the starter? Cool. If he's not, we can go the other route. We could re-sign Brandon. All options on the table. I don't think they drafted him in April with the idea that he was going to go out and get 1,200 yards this year for a team that's got to win.
Yes, but I do think that there was a certain amount of plan B, because you went into the draft and you were shopping Brandon Ayuk, and he was not yet signed.
That's fair.
And Deebo is coming up on a spot where you can get out of his deal too. So I do think that you thought about Ricky Pearsall as maybe an emergency insurance policy that you may actually need to use.
We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service bank with no compromises. Anthony Slater will be on in a half hour, but coming up next, Kyle Shanahan answers the question, how do you feel about the rest of your wide receiver room? And Tim Kawakami with some pointed comments on how the 49ers have handled all this. That's next on Willard and Dibbs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas. This is sports the way it should be.